Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in circumcision, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them all that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteous might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seeds, and to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was to written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to him who shall it be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered to our offenses and was raised again for our justification. What is conviction? What does conviction mean? It means a firmly held belief or opinion. A firmly held belief or opinion. What are our convictions as believers? You can answer that yourself. What are our conviction as believers? Conviction refers to the state of being convinced and confident that something is true. It means a strong persuasion or belief. In other words, conviction stands opposed to doubt and skepticism. When we think of a man of conviction, we also think in terms of actions and direction. We think of a person whose convictions have a definite impact on how he lives, on what he does, says, and where he goes. By a man of scriptural conviction, we mean a man whose convictions are derived from scriptural and whose convictions affect him scripturally. But what exactly do we mean by the term conviction? Conviction means the act or process of convincing, the state of being convinced, or a fixed or strong belief. From and based on a commitment to Scripture in the Bible as God's holy word, it is the absolute index for the whole of our lives, faith, and practice. Abraham is called the father of us all. In Romans 4, verse 16, we're going to read that verse again. We just read it. We're going to read it again. Romans 4, verse 16 only. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. From the standpoint of faith, he was certainly the perfect example of a man of scriptural conviction, as the book of Genesis and the above passage demonstrates. When all the odds were stacked against him, even though at times he tried to take matter into his own hands, he firmly held on to the promise of God. Second Peter provides us with another illustration of the necessity of convictions based on the absolute of the word. What was the basic problem of 2 Peter? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Second Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 1. But there are false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Even through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Let's also turn to verse 14, 2 Peter. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, the heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. It was false teachers who were leading people astray in both doctrine and in moral behavior, because one always follows the other. Unrighteousness is invariably linked to ungodliness, and ungodliness is linked to unsound doctrine or a rejection of the truth. And what I'm going to say now is my personal opinion. It's how I feel. But I believe that elders of this and other ecclesias and teachers need to have doctrinal soundness. It is needed. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Starting with verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is a contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Let's also turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Titus chapter 1, starting with verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good, men, sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. We're also going to turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing incorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Our convictions help us make decisions. It is the basis of convictions that important decisions should be made about how to live and what to do. I've got just a few examples. When it comes to conviction, in this, I reflected actually on Cody. the job that he's inquiring to become a pilot. It goes back to now his conviction, not only his but everyone's, to determine of what he's going to do. Is he going to move? Is he going to leave the ecclesia? But that's going to be his choice and his conviction. A lot of it, you know, it's not only Cody, but it was brought to mind when I was doing it that I thought of Cody, because the job that he's inquiring will take him, you know, on travels. What do we read? What do we watch every day? Again, it goes back to conviction. Are we watching things that are moral, that are pure? Do we read things that are pure or filthy? And I thought of Cody again when it was talking about dating and marrying. Not trying to push him. But, you know, our convictions have to be also when we think about who we are dating and who we are going to marry. You know, you have to have the same conviction. You have to have the same, you know, thought process. You know, when me and Heather got together, I mean, I was blessed. She had no inclination of really any other religion. So I'm not saying it was easy, but it was easier because she did believe the basics that we believed. So it wasn't a conflict of trying to make her or force her be a Christadelphian. That was a choice that she made, not me. So it does. It goes on conviction of, you know, who do we date? Who do we marry? Who do, you know, our job travels? Because my job in the beginning, before I was baptized, it did. I was out of town all the time. You know, it took me out of town every day for years. I was never here. But as you grow, your convictions grow, and then you know what's really what it's about, what all this is really about. You know, God has chosen us to be His children. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. All of us here, we have made it through either family, through friends, through Uncle Tommy, through everyone here. We've made it. Some way or another, someone has touched our lives to be here. And that's a blessing in itself. And then we talk about attitude. I thought about me then. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, starting with verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for ye have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Let's turn over to let's turn over to John. We're going to turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. We're also in the same chapter. Let's read verses 44 through 47. Starting with verse 44 of the same chapter 8. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was murdered from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Let's also turn to Acts. Acts chapter 18, verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, in that publicly shown by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Let's also turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 24. But if all prophecy, and there came in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Let's turn back to Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. I know we read that one. I want to read that again. In James 2. James chapter 2, verse 9. James chapter 2, verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Attitudes are usually reflections of our feelings. We feel good, so we have a good attitude. We feel bad, we have a bad attitude. So I always tell my guys, I won't yell at you if you don't do anything wrong. Our attitudes are ways of thinking about circumstances. They must be controlled by conviction that God is our rock and our strength and our source of joy. Today, believing is not enough. It's not that believing isn't important. It is. But today, believing is more of a preference based on how we feel at the moment rather than a strong conviction based on sound evidence. We live in a culture that radically differs from the one just 30 years ago. In today's culture, many beliefs are emotionally determined and therefore are easily subject to change. You know, speaking of that, it just come to mind. You know, it's just like, you know, when you have conviction of the truth, you have to stand for what you believe. You have to fight for it and not take second party to it, not bow down to it. You know, it's just like with the Catholics now and the Pope and how, you know, homosexuality is supposedly the right thing now for them and for the world. And that just tells you how close we are that Christ will return, because they have everyone believing that that is correct, that there is nothing wrong with that, that, you know, even though it says it right here in the Bible, and it says it word for word, that their conviction is not correct. It's so far off base. And that's where we need to have our conviction, that we need to be able to stand up for the truth when asked, when, where, and how. Even if it affects us. You know, I hate to say it, but even if it affects us, if it affects our job, if it affects anything, if we don't stand up for the truth, who's going to? If we don't do it, we can't expect people on the outside to do it. So if we're not willing to stand up for the truth and spread the gospel, how are we expected for them to do it? You know, we can't look down on them if we don't do it ourselves. You know, I'm not, you know, it just, you know, I'm out in the, I know we're all out in the world every day. It's, you know, Brother Matt goes to, you know, a lot of properties, a lot of people. He deals with a lot of people. Brother Sid and Aaron and myself, we deal with ongoing people every day in our lives that are not Christadelphian, that are do not have the conviction that we have. But we still need to stand up for the truth no matter what, if we're brought to that attention. Because we cannot expect other people if we don't do it ourselves. It is not enough to merely believe or just agree with the biblical truth about God. Many people hear and even know the truths of the Bible, but they are not held by those beliefs. They believe one thing, but live a completely different way of life. We must develop a deep inner conviction in ourselves, which will enable us to stand up, stand alone in our modern humanistic world. Let's turn to, we're already at James. Let's go to James chapter 2, starting with verse 14. James chapter 2, starting with verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, through a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath no works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me the faith, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show ye thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Just give me 1 second. That was my... Okay, I want to close with 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into this world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may be boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Thank you. We will now enter into our memorial with the singing of hymn 152. According to thy gracious word, before thy agony, this will we do, our absent Lord, we will remember thee. Hymn number 152.